From the center of the universe, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, this is the SDM Show with your host, Rob Cairns. The SDM Show focuses on business, life, productivity, digital marketing, WordPress, and more. Sit back, relax, grab your favorite drink, and enjoy the show. Here is Rob.
Hey, everybody. I'm Rob Cairns. I'm the founder, CEO, and chief creator of Amazing Ideas at Stunning Digital Marketing. Today is something really special. This is episode 400 of the SDM Show. I want to take a moment and thank all the past guests, all the contributors, all the people who have listened. I'm truly humbled, and I appreciate each one of you. For episode 400, I decided to entitle this episode, My Peeps, and with me is Todd Jones, Brian Waterbury, Devinder Sinkhan, and out of retirement, the one, the only, Mr. Paul Lacey. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the engaging conversation we had. This podcast is sponsored by Stunning Digital Marketing, the agency that can help protect your WordPress website today. Go to stunningdigitalmarketing.com and see what we can do to help you protect your business investment. That's stunningdigitalmarketing.com. Hey, everybody, Rob Cairns here. This is a really special episode with some, as far as I'm concerned, some special people. This is episode 400 of the SDM Show. So it's been a bit of a journey. And today I thought we have a little private Slack mastermind, and I thought I'd grab the guys in that mastermind up for a show, and we'll just have a general chat about WordPress and marketing. Let's start to my right, Mr. Todd E. Jones. Hey, Todd, how are you this morning?
Oh, so exciting week. So I guess I'm doing all right so far.
And we also have my regular monthly co-host, Mr. Ryan Waterbury. How are you, Ryan?
Hey, the dogs are sleeping. I'm happy.
They are sleepy. And all the way from India, I've got Mr. Devinder Sinkhan. Hey, Devinder. How are you? Long time.
Oh, yes. I'm doing good. And I did get your Christmas greeting card. So I forgot to mention that.
My pleasure. And I had to drag out of podcast retirement the one, the only WP Builds trader, Mr. Paul Lacey. Hey, Paul.
How you doing? Congratulations on 400 episodes. That's insane.
Yeah, it's been, you know, it's funny. When I started this 3.5 years ago, I did a couple interviews and I said, I'll do one, I'll do two, I'll do three, I'll get to 15 and I'll pack it in. And now we're kind of, I'm going on 400 and like the sky's the limit. It's been absolutely insane. So thank you for that, Paul. Much appreciated.
You do about two or three a week. Something like that?
Generally two a week with some exceptions. The weeks Ryan and I do, I usually do a third one. And at the time of this record, this week I'm doing, believe it or not, five because I'm going into security week. So we're going to talk about WordPress security and general security, but generally two or three a week. Yeah.
So 2.5 a week on average in 3.5 years gets you to 400 episodes. That's amazing. Well done, sir.
Thank you very much. I thought we'd jump into some WordPressy stuff because we're all WordPress people on this call. And the biggest quorum I have is people in the WordPress ecosystem sell themselves short from a financial point of view. Anybody want to take that and jump in?
Oh, man. Can I tell you that when people say raise your rates, you'll be happier? They aren't lying at all. It took me a long time, and a lot of entrepreneurs, when they first start, you're scared of losing clients. But if you're struggling because you're not billing enough and you have too much work on the plate, you're stressed out anyway, and that leads to burnout. And what I found was raising my pricing not only brought me in better customers, but gave me a little more peace of mind. I was working on less projects at a time for the same amount of money and putting out better quality work. And I think in the WordPress space, a lot of people for a long time saw it as, oh, I can just go buy a theme and, you know, set up a site, you know, the famous 5-minute install for a long time. And that WordPress hasn't been that way for a long time, for years, probably 10 years. And a lot of people don't realize that it actually takes some skill and talent to put together a site appropriately.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, it's not just installing WordPress, right? I started a document last week because I actually wanted, and I think I actually shared this in the Slack room, but if I didn't, I need to. But what you need in a website, right? What are the things you need in a website? And that list grew very long, very quickly. And the thing about someone who, and I don't think I'll get hissed at by you guys on this call, but if you're using a DIY platform, a do-it-yourself platform, and you're doing it yourself, which, you know, the fact that we can do that now is especially for a brand new business owner that can spin up a site, you know, get going with a DIY. But the problem is you don't have that skill of years of doing websites and knowing that, hey, maybe I need a privacy policy. Maybe I need to have, I need to find a way to connect my Google business profile to my website. Those types of things that take skill with experience that you don't have and you don't know about when you try to launch a website on one of the do-it-yourself platforms.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Devinder or Paul, either you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, absolutely. As you grow older in terms of acquiring knowledge and expertise, you should raise your rates because there's always someone who will do it for cheaper. So don't worry about those clients. They will still find someone because as you move up, you will find clients who will take less of your brain juice. And that's very important.
Yeah. Paul?
Yeah, it just feels like it's a exercise in increasing the amount of bandwidth that you have as well, just as a general human. So every day, every year, it feels as a business owner, there's always pressures on you to race to the bottom, do more things, etc. So raising your rates or, you know, purging clients or changing bad habits is just a good thing to not do just once a year, but just to be every day, just to be like mindful of, hey, I'm not charging enough, or I'm doing too much admin over here, or I'm getting too obsessed with AI doing something like this. I think keeping it real is part of raising your rates is part of keeping it real, I think, as a business owner. So totally agree with that. I'm not very good at raising my rates, but I'm mindful of the bigger picture of all the bandwidth that we have and trying to improve our lives every day.
Yeah, it's funny when you guys mentioned that I went into December and I raised my rate 25% across the board. And I had people say to me, are you crazy? Are you out of your mind? And in it all, I only lost 4 clients out of 400 security sites. I lost 4. And the 4 I lost, 3 of them I wanted gone anyway. So I raised my rates to achieve getting rid of people that I wanted to get rid of that I knew the minute I raised the rates, they would balk. And by the way, 2 of the ones I got rid of paid exorbitant prices to get their websites moved off my platform, which was even better. So, you know, go ahead.
The timing of the question in my inbox this morning was an email from Erin Flynn. And we all know Erin. She's a talented designer from the Colorado area. And it was all about raising rates. And I believe, I didn't really look at the thing closely, but she does have a lot of resources on how to phrase that. If you're one of those persons who struggles, like, what do I say to my client? Tap into Erin's resources for that kind of thing. So she's built a bunch of templates that you can use. So chase her down. She's a real nice lady.
Yeah. Paul gave me my next segue. Paul made the mistake of mentioning the words AI. And it's almost impossible to have a web discussion or podcast or a marketing conversation, as Ryan and I know, we have many of them, and Todd, about talking about AI. So I'm going to start with Paul. How do you think AI is changing our business, Paul?
It's really difficult to know, because we're probably in one of those times, like in the, I don't know when it was, the 50s or whatever, where people were imagining the future with rocket packs and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And at the moment, it feels like almost nobody can imagine what the future is with AI. So we just imagine a version of it with kind of a step change in one of the things that we know. And so when I see all the predictions at the moment, whether it's websites that can be made with AI and prompts and stuff like that, it makes me think that that website that you create with a prompt is for a human. At the same time that that becomes relevant, a human probably doesn't look at a website as much anyway and just asks some kind of, I don't want to say, you know, the Amazon thing that begins with A, because I've got one right next to me, and just asks for a prompt in response. So the actual creation of a graphical website doesn't matter, because all websites in the future might just be JSON files or something that just have a structure of data and photos.
Yeah.
So it's a bit like, you know, imagining the wheel was never invented, but a horse was, you know, and a plane and some kind of glider was, and that you would imagine that you'd have this kind of, how do we launch the flying thing into the air? And you would strap wings to the horse, and then the horse would run down the runway and take off, sort of thing, like Pegasus. And because you just can't imagine the other changes that are happening within the environment, we can only, so yeah, in the short term, we can sort of see, oh, look at this, you can press this button, and a WordPress website exists. It's like, we're sort of pressing, you know, AI-ing ourselves out of relevancy in a way. So on that whole front, you know, it's like an anxiety a lot of people have. I just sort of tend to think, as that goes in that direction, I can't control it. I'm not an AI bot myself, so I can't join the AI bots and become one. The only thing I can do as a business owner is be more and more human. So just right, what are relationships? Can AI genuinely create those relationships and maintain relationships? Can AI really understand the nuanced human things? Maybe it can, but the only direction I can go is to, you know, go from, just become less franchised and just become more unique as possible as I can, you know, and more into UX and less into automation. If any of that makes sense, but that's the only thing I can think to do.
It's almost like AI is pushing us to go back to be more relationship oriented.
Mm-hmm.
And I never would have thought, you know, just listening to what Paul said, and I agree with what he said, you know, the way you differentiate yourself as a business in the future of AI is to be more human, to be more relationship oriented. Well, I think we can all agree that in the last, I don't know, several decades, that has actually gone by the wayside as technology has been rapid and we have grasped onto technology, and it's all your differentiation was about adopting the newest technology. Now your differentiation is going to be more about being relational and human. And so it's going to be interesting to see. And obviously, I'm not just in the WordPress community, but I'm also in the content community. And AI has a, you know, there's so many different, you know, people are usually on one side or the other. I got an email from Julia McCoy today, who's now she's a content creator, content marketer, has been around for a while. She's now at Content at Scale, and she's going, she was kind of explaining why she went from being anti-AI to embracing AI. I think we're going to have to embrace it. To what extent, that's going to be up to each individual. You know, how are you going to embrace it? What are you going to do with it? It's like anything else. It's coming. You got to figure out how you play into it. And, I can see a lot of needs of things I don't do very well, don't like doing, that AI can help me with. So, you know, in that regard, I'm happy to embrace it. But there's still a long way to go, and it won't replace the humanness of who we are, I think, like Paul mentioned.
Yeah. Ryan or Devinder?
That's kind of... And Todd touched on something interesting that I talked about in my newsletter, and that the differentiating yourself and AI makes it easy to crank out a bunch of really common, easy articles for content. You know, Todd talked about being part of the content writing community, and I have part of that with SEO work that I do. And that my clients that I do SEO work, half of them don't want blogs written for them anymore. They have opted to do it themselves. And after a while, they found out that those blogs aren't getting traffic. So we're using AI in a little bit different manner. They're still writing the articles, but I have to come back and edit them and do the same optimization that I was doing before. It takes that human touch. And even just this past couple of weeks, I've brought on a couple of new webcare clients who were with large hosting companies that they were just a number. And what they really wanted was that personal connection, that relationship with somebody that they can call. And so I think that, Todd was absolutely correct in the fact that it's going to personalize. And those of us that can use AI as a tool to fill in the gaps for our skill set, for the things that we aren't good at or don't want to do, and allow us to focus on building better customer relationships, those are the agencies, I think, that are going to thrive and survive as we go forward.
Yeah, really good points, Ryan. Devinder, do you have 2 cents on this one?
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is, like, if you compare AI buzz in January 2024 to compare to January 2023, like last year, everything was like AI. Everyone with the existing product was adding AI to next to it just because it suddenly became better. It suddenly became more intelligent, which wasn't the case. And people are realizing it because it's just like a more fancied up thing, because AI has existed ever since Google was there. Obviously, Google gives us one sentence answers. AI just makes that one sentence into a threaded answer, you know, carries the conversations further. Yes, it's a better format, but AI can never replace us, because again, AI feeds on data that we create, right? And algorithms we run. So it's a wishful thinking. And if you compare AI with, you know, the practical applications in terms of WordPress ecosystem, yes, there are now AI tools that will, you know, build up a site, but if you compare the site that they spew, is it good enough for, you know, people who are looking for custom website or people who look for, you know, agencies to build their website? Not really. It's more like a DIY, you know, self-hosted. If you compare it with like Wix and Squarespace, like those kind of things have already have been there. It's just, we are just wrapping up with the AI paper and, you know, trying to sell it. Yes, AI has improved few things, but still long way to go. AI won't replace a lot of things, including writing content. And in fact, AI will increase the importance of human written content more. Just wait for like 1 or 2 years more.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it's just a tool, and that's all how you use the tool. Like, it's not the end all ends. I mean, people said that when page builders came out, right? They said, we're going to page builders, and we've heard this before. So it's kind of a tool, and it's just how it's used.
No, Rob. Go ahead. I was going to say just one more thing, just adding to what Devinder said, is that there's this thing in like cycling and also in guitars and stuff like that. It's like a thing called a BSO, and it's a bicycle shaped object, which is basically like if you go to the Walmart or something and find the cheapest bicycle, a cyclist would call it a bicycle shaped object because it looks and feels like a bicycle, but you ride it up a steep hill and you're going to really struggle. And the same with AI-based websites. They are very, very convincing website-shaped objects to me. And they are missing all the nuances of the multiple different theory and professions that go into a website. So, you know, all of us WordPress people, we're not as deep into user experience design as UX designers. And UX designers are all based on, let's see what humans do with this thing, and then we will make some decisions, and then we'll test those things. And all of that goes out the window. Content first approach kind of goes out the window. And I know some people, if they watch this, will be like, oh, you just don't know what you're talking about. You're just so far behind, you Luddite or whatever. But I just think that that we should all strive for being artisans at everything that we do rather than automators trying to cut corners. Because all I'm seeing so far is, like Devinder said, people are getting sick of it. Just even mentioning it, like AI, please don't talk about this. you know, I can't, you know, you can, the amount of people have probably just blocked the phrase AI on Twitter now just because they just can't see another thread or a hot take or a weigh-in on it. So, yeah, you know, just maybe I'm just resisting. I'm really polite to the AI bots that I talk to just in case they take over one day. You know, when Terminator comes, I want him to be kind of like, oh, he was all right. He said please and thank you at least. So give him the quick death.
Yeah, I get that. And, you know, it's funny. We talk about things being different. And I think one of the things that helps us is what we read. And so I'm going to jump into what your favorite marketing business book is. And let's start with Devinder, because I know he probably doesn't read much these days, but. You know.
Obviously, I don't read books, but in case you want to increase your knowledge about things that are there in the world, there's a channel called Business Insider on YouTube. Just go there, search it. It has awesome videos. There's one Business Insider, and there's another called Vice, V-I-C-E, which obviously is a little news related, but it really gives you the perspective in a more neutral way of the world, east, west, north, south.
Yeah. Thank you. Ryan, have you read anything recently that's worth...
Business-wise, honestly, log books don't do it for me. That reminds me of college. But the quick daily one that I can tolerate is TLDR. That one is about every other day. I find something meaningful that they've picked up and linked to an article, so I can stay up to date on just the minimal amount of what I need while not being too distracted by shiny new objects.
Oh, we know that problem. Mr. Lacey, have you read anything interesting lately?
Do you know, in the last couple of years, the thing I've been trying to do is just for a while, just think for myself. And I'm not trying to be smart in saying that, but
no.
I was reading so much, listening to so much podcasts, getting involved in podcasts or you know, all different things. And I, at some point when I ejected myself from that life, it was largely because I could not even hear my own voice anymore in my own head. So I've not really read much or listened to much. I've just tried to use my own instincts for a while. And that seems to work quite well. The one thing I do enjoy is I've enjoyed Jim Galliano's blog post and Jim Galliano's podcast, which is on hiatus at the moment now. So I've found him to have that similar concept of what personal brand means. Personal branding meaning, you know, doesn't mean create a cool image of yourself. It's more kind of like recognizing that the best restaurant in town is the one that was passed down from someone's father and has been there. And it's the Italian pizza place that everybody talks about. And if you go to that town, you've got to go to so-and-so's pizza place. You know, it's just that, again, that personal touch. So I've just been trying to get back in touch with my own personal thoughts on everything from business to world culture. It doesn't really matter what it is. I just realized that I'd lost my own thoughts on it for quite a while. So sorry, no book recommendations. I bought plenty of books and then they just went straight on the shelf.
Okay. Todd, you're a bit of a reader sometimes.
If you wanted books or articles or what? I mean, there is a saturation of content, and Paul makes a great point. I mean, we can like read and forget our own thoughts really. But you know me, I really are interested in storytelling. So you know. Obviously, Stories That Stick by Kendra Hall was a big influence on me a couple of years ago. I'm reading one now by Karen Ember. I forget what her last name is. She wrote The Perfect Story. I'm toward the end of that. I have a hard time like read. I don't read as fast as you do, Rob. I don't know. Maybe perhaps I'm think about what I'm reading and I get sidetracked or whatever. That is a book I need to finish, and I just got another book from a copywriter about persuasion storytelling, and I'll be going through that. So and then it filters into like what I think about content marketing, content writing, content strategy. All this stuff is coming together into my big old head, and I'm trying to decipher that. And a lot of times I will, when I have an idea that I'm vetting, it'll go into my email newsletter, Story Arc. And so I'll vet it that way a lot of times. And some things are percolating right now. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But that's kind of, those are the books, I guess, right now.
Yeah. And I would say, you know, I was thinking about this. If you look at my bedside table, there's 8 books sitting on it right now. And the pile's growing by the day, by the way. So I'm an avid reader. The book I always recommend that marketers should read is a book called The Inside Advantage. It was written in 2009 by Robert Bloom. It's a big red cover. And it talks about what we talked about in the AI conversation, making yourself different and standing out, and why you shouldn't fight everything on price. It's a really interesting read. It was written over 10 years ago, and it's still like one of the most relevant books today. So that's kind of mine. Let's jump into something a little fun. If you could have dinner with anybody, past, future, or present, who would it be and why? Ryan.
Oh, wow. That's that's an interesting one. The first one that comes to mind is probably Delmar Smith. He's a bird dog royalty, famous dog trainer, Brittany Spaniel breeder, and field trialer. One of my hobbies and something I help out with other people. I name my agency, you know, after dogs, because I have a, you know, passion for dogs and dog rescuing. You know, it's not all about work. So that's my dinner guest of choice.
Yeah. Todd, who would you like to go out for dinner with?
Anybody want to take a guess what kind of person I would want to have a dinner with? The Probably present would be Steve. The present guy would be Steve Borden, a.k.a. Sting, the wrestler, not Sting the singer. Although there is a picture floating around the internet with Sting the wrestler and Sting the singer together. So that's a pretty cool picture. Because he's been my favorite wrestler for probably 30 years and as a person as well. And then past would be Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, who did pass away in, I think, 13. One of the most charismatic individuals to grace the squared circle as a professional wrestler. And you know, he would not fit the current WWE mantra of how you should look. He was a son of a plumber, and he looked like a plumber, but he was beloved back then. And those guys, especially Dusty, was one of the best at his promo skills. I say there's two. The babyface, he was the best babyface promo. He has the best, called Hard Times. You can look it up on YouTube. Very good. And then, of course, most people remember Ric Flair, and no doubt Rick is probably the best villain promo guy that's out there. And they were, of course, contemporaries and probably made each other the rivals that they are. So probably Dusty and Sting.
Devender.
Well, I would like to have dinner with Devender at 20 years of age and tell him that, oh, you were good, but you could have been better. So that's my, and if anyone else, I think I would like to have dinner with one cat that I had during my childhood for 16 years. And you won't understand till you have a pet that what kind of discussion you can have with a pet. So
I'm sure.
So I know it sounds a little funny, but I guess I'm like that.
Paul?
You know, I like your answer, Devinda. I think I was sitting here thinking, don't ask me first, Rob, because my instant reaction in my mind is nobody. I just want to stay at home, order a takeaway, play video games. But thinking about it, it would be just a group of close friends. I would. There's probably certain, you know, famous people out there who I'd love to kind of be an invisible person, you know, or a fly on the wall sort of thing. I can't think of who those would be, but the yourself of at age 20, Devinda, was a really cool idea. I would love to do that, and I would love to kind of maybe even just have me every 5 years, and maybe even my kids in the future, and then add to that, like you said, friends or animals who are no longer with us, you know, back for just one more, you know, one more time together sort of thing. That would be, that'd be awesome. So, you know, I'm pretty introverted, especially nowadays. And so the idea of being forced into a dinner with somebody, you know, who's got a massive brain would just be a bit too much for me. I think I would just want to tone it down massively, or get some insight, like Devinder said, into your own self at various points in your life to sort of see, oh, I see where I came from now. That all makes sense.
Maybe
the last one I'll say, a therapist. That'd be a good one. Yeah. Sit down for an hour with a therapist over lunch or something. I could make that happen as well, I think. So
yeah. Maybe I will. You know, you're giving me another segue, but that's another story. But you know, it's funny, you both Devinder and Paul kind of touch on that. And I always, people say to me, who do you want to have dinner with? And for me, it's one person's my late father. It's been like this year 16 years, and you know, I miss him. I'd love to sit and have a chat. And the other little bit of a famous guy is a guy by the name of Ken Dryden. He was a Hall of Fame goaltender. I've actually had dinner with him before. I'd like to have dinner again. He's a Hall of Fame goaltender, a lawyer. He was president of Toronto Maple Leafs. He's a law. He's 70, in his 70s, still teaching law, and a politician. He's done it all. And the man was very challenge driven and an author. At least a 6 or 7 time author. So I'd give to have that career and just sit down and chat. So Paul, you gave me a segue and I was debating whether it was going to go here or not, but the therapist comment is going to put it there. So you can blame yourself on this one. We all work in this work at home state. And one of the things in our space, and we've seen it time and time again, it happened in post status last week, it's happened all over, is people in our space don't take care of their mental health. They really don't. They don't do a good job of it, or they don't have the support. Do you have any feeling on that, Paul?
I think I've probably ejected myself every time I've felt that I've got too close to something really bad. You know, if I'm talking about myself, but talking about other people, you know, I think you can't help how things affect you sometimes. They just do.
Yeah.
And you are, you know, you as a person are a kind of a sum of the whole life that's happened before you and all your experiences. And then you add that to the way you see the world is largely based on how your brain works. I mean, I can say for sure for myself, since I've started to become, you know, put a lot of more quiet and create a lot more mental bandwidth over the last couple of years, since I kind of left like the podcasting and WordPress space like that. It was just as in the kind of speaking out loud sort of space and get involved in all that stuff all the time. And also after closing my own, you know, agency, I realized over the last couple of years how ridiculously amount I was masking my own personality. And to be bluntly honest, I feel more and more every day, more and more autistic these days. I think it's just as I kind of understand the kind of complex and weird way that my brain reacts to things. The message I'm saying is that the more that you're aware of how your own mind works, the more you can just look at the world and just see it as a bunch of things that are flying towards you, and then you can just decide how you want to deal with those. Now, you can't deal with things that are just, you know, let's say depression. There is like situational depression as such, and then there is I forget what it's called, but the one that you can't do anything about. It's literally like a disease as such, right? So I think we're in tech, there's just so much BS flying at you all the time and so much kind of reason to think about anxiety and stuff like that. There's a lot of anxiety type things getting thrown at you. Anything that you can find in there that you can just disregard or just filter out, I would just say do that. I mean, we don't need to worry if, you know, Matt Mullenweg's had COVID or too many whiskers and has kind of had a go at somebody. We don't need to you know, get upset if it seems that like a bunch of influencers are getting very binary about how WordPress should or shouldn't be used. You know, just this is just talking specifically about WordPress. You can filter that stuff out and, you know, as they say, go and touch some grass, as people sometimes say. So, you know, getting in touch with who you are, I think, is super important. That can take a long, long time. But it's a super interesting thing because you might find that you're a very strange, weird person in good ways, you know, and more creative than you thought as well. So, I don't know. It's a difficult one. It's a difficult one, really. But
it is.
Yeah. As much as possible, take care of your own mind because it's the only really conscious, literally, thing that you've got. So do what you can.
I agree. Ryan?
It's kind of interesting that you segued in with, you know, mentioning post status. One of the first WordCamps that I attended, Corey Miller and his wife and a few other people, I think Jennifer Bourne was on the panel. It was the opening panel, was talking about mental health and how it's not addressed. And this, I think, was in 2017. So it was still relatively new to talk about mental health for, you know, us as individuals that work alone, as solopreneurs, and the challenges that come with that. You know, we don't have a regular 9-to-5, and, you know, I find myself working all the time if somebody doesn't tell me to stop, and that's not healthy. So that, you know, that's one of the challenges that, that they brought light on, that you really don't think about it at the time, that, you know, am I doing what's right and healthy? And I think we don't give ourselves enough time to unwind, relax, disconnect. And what I've started doing, especially on Sundays, and I just saw another great habit forming tip, is set an out of office reminder for your weekends. So if your clients email you over the weekend, they get an out of office reminder, and they are reminded that you have personal space. And for me, I'm rarely checking anything online on Sundays. Trying to disconnect as much as possible has really helped me start my week so much better, fresher. Sitting down and looking at the screen is a little bit different. But taking care of yourself, it can be as simple as walking away for 5 to 10 minutes and taking a break. So there's all sorts of ways to look at, you know, staying mentally healthy. But the one that really shocked me and hit me was, you know, working all the time, and that's not healthy. I really didn't think about it until I started getting burned out.
I'm sure.
And you don't. Because you're kind of working in a vacuum. So that's why I've appreciated our Slack group, to be able to talk with you guys and bounce ideas off, because we do work in a vacuum often times on things. So to have people to connect with, I think, is important too.
Yeah. And you're really good at that. Like, I know you hadn't talked to me most of last week before recording, and I know you reached out Friday afternoon, and like things like that matter. So thank you for that. Devinder.
I think the golden rule is don't be part of a drama, or don't even react to a drama thing, be it WordPress or outside, because that will just drain you. If you really want to create drama with your work, create drama with your friends who you can trust, and they will tell you whether you're wrong or right. And again, it depends on person's, you know, own behavior and traits, because I personally, I'm very introvert kind of a person. I usually don't really open up with people, especially new people. Yeah. It's kind of difficult for me. But things are a little changing now. Like, I've started attending WordCamps, and you, when you interact with other people, you realize others are also like you. Like, most WordCamp WordPressers are kind of introvert. If you see, majority of them are, because we sit on, you know, in front of screens. We don't interact with people, maybe just with cats and dogs. So, It's been a very healthy addition to my overall, you know, working stuff, being going to WordCamps, you know, and not just attending WordCamps outside, but attending WordCamp outside has started building connections here locally. So I know more WordPressers who are local, and we sometimes meet here and there and we bump into each other. I suddenly realize that, oh, someone who uses WordPress, who makes WordPress plugin, lives next to my house, right? So you can always, you know, meet up, and, you know, it's all about talking helps, you know. Depression can happen to anyone to any level. So the only thing that can, you know, if you enjoy your work and if you talk to people, fortunately, I live in a country, in a place where you never are short of people talking to you. So I always have someone to talk to, which is kind of blessing. Obviously, some may find it like in other, you know, parts of the world, it may consider it as like intrusion of privacy or something like that. But there's no such concept here. So maybe that helps. I don't know. But I love talking to people, even though I'm an introvert nature. But yeah, I think now I've changed. Like, as you grow older, you know, you are settled in your family things, because once this, you know, in early years when you get married, you tend to lose touch with your friends, the real friends from school days, college days, because they all are in the same phase of, you know, getting married and getting settled in some country and some jobs and all that. But now you are, you know, rewinding that wheel and finding, you know, more friends, or maybe the old friends and all that. Yeah, have friends, and real friends are those who will tell you your mistakes more than your laurels. So yeah. I'll always tell Todd's mistakes when he does mistakes with his copy ideas and all that stuff.
Yes, you're funny. And that brings us to Todd.
So I'm really glad that people talk about mental health and those kind of things. I felt like a few years ago, maybe it was becoming popular to talk about it a little bit. And so for that reason, I didn't feel like I needed to add any more to the discussion. Occasionally I'll chime in, whatever. Late 90s, there was pretty big stigma still with mental health. Mm-hmm. And that's when I slipped into major depressive disorder, which is what I was diagnosed with. And it was very situational, but it didn't, you know, erase the fact that I was really majorly depressed. And I had therapy and I had medicine and all that kind of stuff. It does need to be talked about. It needs to be, you know, not, you know, destigmatized. And I'm not sure exactly what you do to destigmatize something other than to share, you know, that share it more often, to share that people have it, whatever. There's three things that really work for me. And I think everything everybody mentioned here as well. And, you know, actually talking to somebody, having somebody to talk to, and America can be bad about that versus some of our friends in other countries like India, where, you know, other countries are more communicative. I can't say what I'm saying. They communicate more often, I guess. They're more willing to communicate than we are. And we're very isolated here. But there's three things that I think that help me as well. One, I say, enjoy your hobbies, right? If you just eliminate, you know, we all know that Ryan is involved in rescue, especially British Spaniards, and he has his beloved Bud. We all know that he enjoys his hobby. He also likes cycling. So, you know, enjoy your hobby. One of the things I appreciate, we have a lot of people in WordPress who take good pictures, and HeroPress shares a lot of those pictures. Michelle Frechette is one who does a lot of picture taking. I really enjoy looking at nature and stuff through her eyes. So that is, you know, enjoy your hobbies. And I would say add to that as well. Exercise always helps. But number two, fur therapy. Now, you don't have to have a beloved pet like right now. You know, Paul talked about visiting with a pet that he had when he was a kid, so forth. But like, we have a cat cafe in Conway, Arkansas, believe it or not. I can go down there at any time, pay a little fee, and go in and pet the cats and talk to them and so forth. Most people who have a dog and they walk them out in public are more than happy to let you pet the dog. Usually just ask, hey, is it okay? And they're like, yeah, sure. And most dogs are very gregarious, so you can pet a dog. And I find that very therapeutic. right? Pets, animals can be very just reaffirming, really. And then the last thing I would say, that this is for me, music. And a lot of it goes back to the days that I was a kid as well. You know, there's a lot of nostalgia tied up. I noticed that in the last week or two, Debbie Gibson was celebrating, I think, 25 or 30 years of one of her hits. And, you know, that was when I was a teenager. So there's a lot of nostalgia there. And I follow some people on social media that I listened to as a kid, and they're still around and they're still doing stuff. And actually, Susanna Hoffs, she's actually very entertaining and funny on social media with some of the stuff she does. Music and learning live music, listening to stuff. That's why we have the jukebox in the Slack group, and everybody shares, you know, Ryan is sharing music. Devender, he shares these grand scores from these big movies from Bollywood, and they're fantastic. And, Paul, one of my favorite bands from my kid is Bad Company, who's right out of the UK. And those guys really rock the house, man. Yeah. So, enjoy your music, enjoy your hobbies, and get some fur therapy. Those kind of work for me.
Yeah, it's a hard one. I mean, I know I've gone through personal and business challenges over the years. I'll freely admit I talk to a counselor on a regular basis because it helps keep the head where it needs to be. I'll listen to Dr. John Deloney has an amazing mental health podcast on the Ramsey Network, and then just find some people that you can talk to and trust. I mean, that's the big thing. Kind of moving on with the last question, because it's kind of fun. We're going to start with Mr. Devinder. If you had a chance to go anywhere in the world on vacation for 2 weeks, where and why?
Because I was already on vacation for a month in New Zealand.
I know you were, so I have to start with you and pick on you today. So.
Honestly speaking, I don't like traveling. I like my sweet home, my sweet community where I want to stay. So I went there because there were other people in my house who wanted to go there. So, you know,
stay home.
But yeah, but that's the reality, you know. I'm not like, even for going for WordCamps, like I went to WordCamp Asia last year. It was just, I wanted to test it, like, how does it work? And it was amazing experience. And I'm going this year again. And someone asked me, like, are you going to WordCamp Europe? And I said, no, I can only travel that much in a year. So, yeah. So if I have to go, probably I would love to go to US and meet all of you two people at this side. And then UK to meet this guy. And Canada, we'll jump the border from US. So,
yeah. Paul.
Yeah. I'm not like a big traveler. In fact, I love staying close to home. I've been to the pyramids and I've been to, you know, Florida and some of the places. I did really love Rhodos which is a Greek island. That was wonderful.
Yeah.
But to be quite honest, the place in the UK, in fact, the whole world that I've ever been that gives me the loveliest feeling, is this place called Port Merion, which is in Wales. And it is a town. I've got a picture of it right in front of me. It's actually on my wall. I bought a picture just so I can look at it every day. And it's like a town that was designed by this guy years and years ago who put this little village that looks like something out of Vienna or something in the middle of an estuary in Wales. And it's a design project. And I get so inspired when I go there. And it's just so beautiful. It's also the set where I think it's the 1960s TV show, The Prisoner, was filmed. Yeah. And this place is just magical and so unique. And whenever I'm in the area of Wales at all, I do make a pilgrimage to there. And I'll go by myself, or I'll take my son, or I'll go with the whole family. Doesn't really matter. I feel like I have to go there ever so often just to remember how... Again, it's that whole thing about, I'm just looking at the picture of it at the moment, the level of artisan and passion that went into this place is just next level. And so, yeah, that's it for me. So, I mean, if I could bring Disneyland just to, if it was 10 miles away, I'd go. But I can't be bothered to get on a plane and go there now.
Yeah, I get it. Mr. Jones, Todd.
You know, not too long ago, I had a dream. I was actually visiting Paul in the UK. It was interesting. Probably nothing like it would be in real life. But for me, I think, you know, of all the places in the world, there's a lot of places in the States I would like to go. And I would like to go to Toronto. I would go see Devendra in India. I really would. I think India would be an awesome place to see Devendra in the area where he lives. So that would be probably top of my list.
Yeah. Ryan, last but not least.
You know, I also like to stay home. I have so many projects and hobbies. I have a race car in the garage that I need to finish. You know, for a good portion of my life, I've been fortunate enough to live, you know, within a couple of hours of some fun racetracks. And so, yeah, to have 2 weeks to just do a little bit of travel and hit some of the best road tracks in America. That would be one of my ideal 2 weeks off. And when you say 2 weeks, to be able to completely shut my mind off from work.
No, I agree with you. You know, it's funny because my bucket list is still Hong Kong. I've always wanted to do Hong Kong. It's a place I've never been. But you guys know me pretty well. And every time I, like Ryan, familiarity matters. And where do I go? Niagara Falls, Ontario, like quite regularly. And it's an hour and a half away. It's wine country. It's the beauty of one of the wonders of the world. So I'm very much a familiarity guy. So I get that.
Can I add one to my holiday?
Sure, of course you can.
It's impossible, but I'd be so fascinated. It's a little bit like the who would you go to lunch with type thing. I would be so fascinated to be able to go see, I don't know if you heard of that place, Göbekli Tepe. It's like this kind of temple type town that they found. It's like 12,500 years old, and it's got, you know, this the technology that's gone into making this place is shouldn't have been there for another 10,000 years or so. I would love to just go and see what the heck was going on around then. You know, did Atlantis exist, and what were people doing? What technology has been lost to, you know, if there was kind of cataclysms and all that sort of stuff? You can probably see and figure out the books I read now and the TV shows and the podcasts I'm listening to. But I just would be fascinated to go and see what the world looked like that far away, that long ago. I'd probably want to be invisible so nobody murdered me immediately as some kind of alien or something. But, you know, I would just love to see this stuff that we just has been lost in time. Mm. And I think, who knows? That'd be cool. Can that be done? Can I do that with AI? Does AI do that for us?
I don't think so.
Not interested.
Google Earth, maybe?
Yeah,
it's funny. But as we kind of wrap this up, and thanks for joining me, I'm going to go around, do a quick roundtable, and do final thoughts. Todd, any final thoughts today? Anything you're thinking about, working on, want to share?
Oh, I have some thoughts I've been thinking about, and they'll go in the email newsletter Wednesday, which actually is my birthday. So anyway, now that I'm thinking about it. But one thing I've been thinking about a little bit is the decline of organic reach in social media and what to do about that. I still believe in content distribution. I'm a fan of that. You know, I follow Ross Simmons from Foundation Inc. And I think that still is a valuable way to do things, but obviously social media has changed a lot. Simply posting the link and maybe a few words about the article just doesn't do the trick anymore. So we're all trying to figure out how to navigate social media organic reach in its decline.
Yeah, I get that. Mr. Ryan Waterbury, any final thoughts from you today?
Nothing too crazy. Just that I enjoy our little group, and some things, you know, as I have evolved with my agency, you know, and 2020, I had a couple of contractors and acted like, you know, a full agency, and getting back to the solo slot and figuring out how to grow. It's been fun talking to all of you and figuring things out. Paul had some really nice comments about, you know, the evolution that he's taken back into the solo mm-hmm. seat. And, you know, you guys really, you know, I just want to say I appreciate you to be able to, you know, bounce ideas off. And I think that's important for everyone that's in the solo seat to find your group. So that's just kind of my finishing thoughts.
Dee, what are your final thoughts for today? You're never at a loss for anything.
Well, firstly, really thankful to all of you for being in the Slack group, because you people invest time and mm-hmm. like me, and, you know, because sharing ideas with you, I know I'll get the real answer, not the fabricated one. So that's one thing. And regarding this year, yes, I'm very excited about 2024, because I'm trying to go back to my roots, because I started as a blogger like 20 years back, and now I really want to get into content creation. But again, now I'm a little more mature in terms of I know which type of content works where. So having those experience pillars around the content, that's what my goal is for 2024. Do things that I enjoy. I've been doing that. Like, I only did 2 client websites in 2023, which was kind of surprising if I used to, you know, share with someone, but not for me, because I really want to shift and do things I enjoy. That's where, you know, all the strings get attached. You do things you enjoy, your mental health is good, you actually do better, and you perform better, not just in terms of productivity, but also the money factor. That's also very mm-hmm. important in what we do. So yeah, excited for 2024. Let's see. We'll recap and look back in 2025 again.
Yeah. Paul, what are your...
Yeah, just, well, appreciate you all, guys. And I love being a solopreneur, like Ryan was saying. I love that, you know, I don't mean that I didn't love having a team and having those people around me and everything, but I just love the freedom, and I feel like it's healthy for not everybody, but for a lot of people, it's a healthy way to navigate a very, you know, changing world all the time. And as somebody who has more or less, you know, kind of muted themselves on social media and Facebook groups and Twitter and all that sort of stuff, I've just found such a lovely balance in life of having small communities like just us. And, you know, I have probably outside of tech, I've probably got like 5 actual friends, and then I've got my family. So I just love these little small units that are very, very supportive and very, very authentic and very, very loving. And so if I was going to give any final thoughts to anybody in 2024 who's stressed out or worried about the year ahead, is like Devinder, I think you said, Devinder, stay away from drama. So remember, you're just one human. You can only affect the drama that comes to you in the scale that one human can do. And find small, authentic voices, groups, friends who are genuinely supportive of you, and you can genuinely support back. That would be my mantra for 2024. And make hay while the sun shines. And avoid the drama. Yeah.
Thank you, Paul. And I kind of want to wrap it up by saying, first of all, thank you to each one of you. The Slack group is a big deal. It makes a big difference. You know, it's funny. I kind of reflect back on 400 episodes and the people I've met, the people I've become friends with, the people I've touched, the people I've shared ideas with, the business that's come out of it. It's been a really, really interesting journey. And anybody who hasn't tried podcasting, both Paul and I, and I mean, Ryan comes on monthly with me, and Todd's dabbled a little bit, and even Devinder's dabbled, you should try it and see if it's a medium that kind of works for you. It's not for everybody, I'll say that. And then I find like Devinder, I'm starting to write a little more. So when I started podcasting, I took podcasting, insert podcasting, remove blogging. I did that quite freely. And now I'm starting to write a couple paragraphs, short tips here and there more than that. And I think our problem is we all stopped blogging and started throwing our thoughts on social media, on X, Twitter, on Facebook. And frankly, if I had my way, I'd spend no time on Facebook, but that's another story. So I've kind of pivoted that way. I just want to wrap this up by saying thanks very much. And thanks to everybody who's enjoyed the show. It's been a journey and much appreciated. And have a great day, everybody. And that's 400 in the books. So thanks so much.
Congratulations. Well done, man.
This show is brought to you by stunningdigitalmarketing.com, your Toronto leader in digital marketing services. Not only do we protect your WordPress website, we can help you with your site, provide social media management for your business, or even do one-on-one consulting. To find out more, go to stunningdigitalmarketing.com.
A very special thank you to Todd, Devinder, Ryan, and Paul for joining me on this special edition of episode 400 of the SDM Show.
Hey, everybody, Rob here again. Thanks for listening to the SDM Show. It's such a pleasure to have you every week. If you want more on our agency website, go to stunningdigitalmarketing.com. We are your WordPress security experts. We'd be glad to help you out. If you want to learn more about me, Rob Cairns, go to meetrobcairns.online. From there, you can find links to everything I do on the web, as well as book time with me. So feel free. If you want to make comments about this podcast or know a guest possibly suitable for the podcast, please email us at podcast@stunningdigitalmarketing.com. Or conversely, you can go to X, formerly known as Twitter, and tweet at me at Rob Cairns. This podcast is dedicated to my late father, Bruce Cairns. Dad, I miss you very much and I love you. Please join us next week for another interesting podcast and have a great week, everybody. Bye for now.